Orton in the gun. Buckalter right next to him. Orton pumps again to the sideline. Batted up. Oh, caught! Stokely down the sideline. Can they catch him? Stokely, wow! Touchdown, Denver! Unbelievable! Oh, my goodness! What a play! 87 yards!
Scott Show. It is Super Bowl week. And as he has for, geez, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. Maybe not that long. It feels like that long. Shoot, maybe. Brandon Stokely, former Raging Cajun wide receiver, son of the great Nelson Stokely, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, Louisiana Raging Cajun Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion, joins us, and his favorite Beastie Boys song is Car Thief off the Paul's Boutique album. I got to tell you, Brandon, I ask every guest the first time they come on anyway what their favorite Beastie Boys song is. You went with a deep cut, which I've always been impressed with, just between you and I. I've always been impressed that you went with Car Thief. I didn't see that one coming.
I mean, they have so many great ones. I mean, you could kind of just spin the wheel and hit on one, and you're going to hit on a great hit. So I appreciate you having me on again, Scott. Always looking forward to chatting with you. And it's always when the Super Bowl is coming around, I don't think about, you know, my playing days all that much anymore or winning the Super Bowl. But, you know, getting to come on your show, I get to relive some of those memories. So I always enjoy it.
You know, I love talking memories and current ball with you because you work in sports radio now, and you know, most of the time you're just talking about, you know, the current product. You're in Denver, you're talking Broncos, and obviously I'm asking about Sean Payton. You're talking Nuggets, stuff like that. So yeah, I guess if you're one of these guys that retires and, you know, only comes around every year to talk Super Bowl, it's a little different for you. You're constantly talking about the current product, and so you probably don't get to reminisce about your playing days a ton. But Super Bowl week, man, I mean, it was, geez, 22 years ago? The opening touchdown against the Giants, that first Ravens Super Bowl, man. I mean, for a guy in your 40s now, that must feel like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I have some pictures around the house, and I'll see them, and I'll just see how young I looked then. And, you know, I got, I got two, you know, old kids. I mean, I got a kid in college and a sophomore in high school. So that's when you know you're getting old. But I always love, thinking back and remembering some of those good old days and, just some of the good times. And, you know, cause your life gets moving and, you know, sometimes it's good to take a pause and reflect back. So love doing it and always look forward to doing it.
Like when you're that young, you don't know what you don't know, right? And you mentioned having a kid in college now. He's probably not that much younger than you were, you know, when you were playing for Baltimore and winning that Super Bowl. He's not quite that old yet, but he's getting close. Can you imagine your son playing in a Super Bowl? I mean, that must have been a moment for your dad getting to watch you play in that game and reel in the first touchdown.
Yeah, and that's what made it really, really special for me was, after the game, you get to the after party and you have your own, you know, you have your table and I don't know how many seats, 8, 10, 12 seats, and you have all your family there, and I got my two sisters, I got my dad, and I got my grandfather. That's just kicking back and relaxing and looking, you know, to my left is my grandfather, my right is my dad, and just so many people along the way that helped you, you know, achieve that moment. And, you know, who would ever thought it would be a Super Bowl win? I just never could imagine that. And there you are celebrating with your family and the people that helped you get there. That to me was just the best feeling in the world, being able to celebrate with them. But yeah, I'm sure he was thrilled about that. but it was just such a great memory just being able to spend that time with them, because they all of them were such a huge part in helping me get to that place.
And you're part of that team that, I mean, I could be wrong here, Brandon, but I truly feel like the 2000 Baltimore Ravens team will be remembered as the last great defensive team. Now, that's not to say, like, you know, I mean, you're in Denver, the Broncos Super Bowl with Peyton's last win, elite defense, but just the way the game has moved and evolved toward more offense, the way the rules have evolved to benefit the offense more, we're never going to see a defense like that one again. And I think in a lot of ways, they're going to be that last, you know, people talk about the 2000 Ravens, talk about the 85 Bears. There's some other really good defenses from the 20th century, but I think that Ravens team will be looked at as that last great sort of all-time defensive team just because of the rules nowadays. I don't think we'll ever have a defensive team like it again.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that with the way the rules have changed, and you're protecting players and protecting quarterbacks and receivers. And you're right. You know, you're not going to have that physicality that you just can't anymore. And that defense brought to the table. I mean, they were nasty and they were physical and they were, you know, they walked that fine line, and you just won't see that anymore. And in the AFC Championship game, we were playing the Oakland Raiders, and Tony Siragusa, you know, put kind of slammed Rich Gannon down with all his body weight on him. And nowadays, he probably would have got a lifetime ban for that, right? But, you know, he hurt him, and he hurt Rich Gannon, had to leave the game, and obviously that was a big help for us. But, you know, you just can't do that stuff anymore. And but that defense was they were something special, and they did. They were a physical defense, and it's hard to be a very physical defense in football these days.
You mentioned Siragusa. And he passed away last summer, man. What do you remember most about him?
You know, for me, he was an old school football player, right? And I got in the NFL, and I was just trying to find my way. And I was just kind of wanted to put my head down, not make any waves, and just make the football team, right? And he made it tough. He made it tough. You know, you had to earn your stripes. And I didn't like him very much early on. Didn't like him very much at all because he made it tough. And but after you made the football team, you know, that first year as a rookie, after you made that football team, you're a part of the group. You're a part of the crew. And he couldn't have been better. Just a great teammate. He was loud. he was funny. But he was a great teammate. And I remember that first Super Bowl, like we got into the locker room, and I took the first bus over. You know, usually have two or three different bus times that you can go to the stadium at. And I took the first bus over, like to get there early. And on every bench, they had Siragusa ripped out the inside of the Super Bowl, like all the Super Bowl rings from the program, and put it on everybody's stool that in front of their locker. And and he made sure everyone knew that, because he was getting later in his career, that, you know what, hey, young guys, this might be your only chance to win a Super Bowl. Don't think because you're here it's going to happen again for you. Look at me. This is my first opportunity. And let's take advantage of this opportunity. And so, but he was a great teammate, and I got to catch up with him when he was doing media afterwards, and I was still playing, and just always loved my interactions with him. But he was old school Italian, man, and that's just the way he was. And you had to earn your place on the team, but once you did, you know, you were family.
Are there, we talk about the game evolving, Brandon Stokely, our guest, the term old school guy in football. I think anybody that's, you know, been watching football for a long time, anybody that's in their 40s, 50s, 60s, I think they know what you mean when you say that. Are there any old school guys left in today's game? Is it possible to still be an old school kind of guy, like at least to the full extent?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really don't think so. You know, with social media and just how guys are brought up, how guys are treated now, and It's just it's you, you just don't see that anymore. Everything has changed so much. You just don't have that. And some of it's for the good. I'm not saying it's better now or better then. I think some of it is for the better of the game. But it's just hard to have that. You just don't. Everybody's about their brand. Everybody's about getting paid. Everybody's, not everybody, but a lot of people. That's just the way it is nowadays. So I'm sure there's a few old school type of guys in the NFL still. But you can't operate like you used to be able to operate.
Outside of the Super Bowl. And the win. And I know you won another Super Bowl ring and two Lafayette natives on that squad. Luke Lawton was on the practice squad. He got a ring as well. But you were hurt in the game against the Bears. You were on IR. Outside of the Super Bowl you played in, what is number two on that list for you as far as most memorable games that you played in?
Wow. I was fortunate to be a part of a lot of fun games, and if I had to pick one, I might say, it's tough. There's a few up there, and that Cincinnati Bengals catch that you played on the intro coming in at the end of the game, 87 yarder with 12 seconds left. That stuff, ball gets tipped up in there, and I'm just standing there at the right place, right time, and able to take that in for a touchdown that opened the season in 2009, I believe. That was unbelievable, and a lot of people remember me from that play. The 49th touchdown, Dan Marino had the record of 48 forever, mm-hmm. and at that time, people didn't think it was going to be broken, and it has since been broken a few times, but that record stood for a long time, and we were chasing that record, and it kind of got to the point, well, who's going to catch that record breaker, and I was fortunate enough to catch it on a really cool play. Peyton kind of designed the play up almost in dirt a little bit. And in Peyton Manning fashion style, he said, hey, I'm going to give you a certain signal that everybody knows is a corner route, but I want you to run the corner and then go back to the post. And, he sold it. I sold it back to him, and it worked to perfection, of course. And he threw a great pass. And I was fortunate enough to catch that 49th touchdown. It was a nice comeback win for us against the Chargers. So there's been a couple of them, but I'd put those two up at the top of the list.
So fortunately, Brandon, you didn't give Peyton like the wrong signal by trying to fire up a crowd on the road and just have him basically throw an interception that's like a punt for a pick six.
I only do that to Jake DeLome.
Which, from what I understand, from what he tells me, your boy Peyton Manning still gives him grief about that, like every time he sees him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Anytime Peyton sees, if we're all together, the story comes up. I got a chance to go down to Augusta last year, and we were down there, and I was with Peyton, and sure enough, we're hanging out, and the story just comes up, and we're down there with Kirby Smart actually, and Peyton's telling the story of me pumping the crowd up in Florida. That was my sophomore year opening game, and Jake throwing it up for grabs, and I run a 10-yard curl route, and Fred Reary takes it back to the house for a pick six. DeLome was not happy about it. But Peyton's telling the story to Kirby Smart. How about that? I'm like, thanks a lot, Peyton. That's a good one. But yeah, the story is always in Peyton's holster, and he uses it quite a bit.
Yeah, I watching him and Eli on the Manning cast, the thing, like, obviously they're funny guys, they're brothers, they have good timing, good comedic timing, all that stuff. The thing that always makes me laugh, and he's not doing it on purpose, is watching Peyton get like incredibly frustrated with poor time management. Like when he sees a coach, and former Broncos coach Nathaniel Hackett did it a little bit, but when he sees a coach or a player just not use the clock properly, he looks like he's at the dentist office getting his teeth pulled. And I don't know why, but seeing him in agony over someone else's mistakes, it just cracks me up every time, Brandon.
Yeah, because he knows how important those things are. And those are the little things that help you win football games. And Those are the things when I played with Peyton, you know, we try to eliminate those things. You can't have those types of screw-ups. And if you're trying to win consistently in the NFL, it's hard enough to win. Those things have got to be buttoned up. And so that stuff really bothers him. And you see him on TV. Imagine if you were his teammate and you're actually on the field with him or watching film with him on a Monday. I mean, but that stuff's important. It's all the little things add up to be big things. And so, but you see him, that's just who he is because he's a competitor. He knows how much that stuff means. And it is, I enjoy watching those two guys on the Manning cast. I think they do a great job.
Well, last year, I mean, we pointed out they still hadn't given you the invite. Like I get that Barack Obama was on there and, you know, I mean, Drew Brees and Brady and all this, but when is Brandon Stokely getting on the Manning cast?
Yeah, you know, actually, I did a little event with them last week in New Orleans, a couple weeks ago, actually, in New Orleans, and I did bring that up. It was me, Peyton, Eli, and Archie. It was quite a treat for me. I kind of moderated it, and it was a lot of fun. But I did bring that up. You know, I'm like, you know, y'all have had 2 years now. How long is the list before you get to Brandon Stokely, before you get to me? Like, where am I at on this list? Like, and they seem to kind of throw out maybe a year five or year six. They might work their way towards me. So hopefully I'm still alive by then. We'll see. But I enjoy watching them. I think they've done a great job. They've kind of made sports viewing different, and you're seeing some spinoffs and some different things that have how we watch football. And I love watching it and hearing their insight, and they're very entertaining, and they do a really good job at it. So maybe I don't know where we're at, 2023 right now, maybe 2026 probably is when I'm looking, and that show will probably be canceled by then.
Right. You got to hold them to it. You got to hold them to it. Maybe if you go on and reference, you know, your grandfather and you know, the Kunaz story, which, because America wouldn't understand that phrase, and then maybe that's what could get them canceled. I can see it now. Manning cast canceled after Stokely's Kunaz comment.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't enough for Eli, you know, throwing the double bird mm-hmm. up on national TV. Me with my coon ass and my grandfather story after I got kicked out of the Philadelphia Eagles game. That might do it to him.
All right. Before we get it, I'm going to take a time out here in a minute. One more thing from your playing career, Brandon. And every year, you know, we rehash some stuff from UL and the Super Bowl, but a game that I don't think I've ever asked you about, probably because it's kind of a painful memory for me as a Saints fan, but you were on the Seahawks in the Beastquake game, and you had, you had a good game that day. I mean, you were solid against the Saints. I think you might have been the leading receiver, you know, that in terms of all the stadiums you've played in, college, pro, whatever, On a decimal level, on a noise level, where does that one ranked whenever, you know, unfortunately for Saints fans, Marshawn Lynch broke that one off and the 7-9 Seahawks upset at the time, the defending Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, I mean, it ranks, I mean, loud. I mean, how can you get louder than really, really loud, right? I mean, it's up there. I mean, it's really, really loud place to play and makes it tough. And I enjoyed that year. I got cut by the Broncos in training camp and kind of didn't know if I was going to, it was hurt and I didn't know where I was going to land and had a couple people I knew in Seattle. And once I got healthy, I went up there for a workout. I signed that day and, you know, they were changing a lot in Seattle. It was Pete Carroll's first year. There was a lot of transactions going on and guys coming in and out. And we weren't a very good football team. But I just went there and had fun, and we just had fun and didn't think that we would make the playoffs. And I think we were the first team with a losing record to, you know, we won our division and made the playoffs. And there the Saints are, big bad Saints, just won the Super Bowl the year before. I really deep down didn't think we had a chance in that football game. It was Drew Brees, and they just had a really good football team. But the home field advantage was huge, and the Saints having to travel. And we played the Saints earlier in the year, I believe, that year. They in New Orleans, and they whipped us up pretty good in that football game. So it was that home field advantage that was really, really huge for us. And then, you know, everybody remembers the Beastquake and the run and Marshawn Lynch. He just such a great running back and just would not go down. And that sealed the deal right there. But it was a fun game for me. I ended up catching a touchdown, you know, playing against the Saints and Sean Payton and just a team that I watched every Sunday. So, and being able to beat them in the playoffs was really cool after they had won the Super Bowl the year before. But it was a fun game. Definitely a fun game.
Brandon Stokely, our guest, Louisiana Raging Cajun alum, Hall of Famer, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer as well. We're going to take a quick timeout. He just mentioned Sean Payton, now the head coach of the Broncos. We've been talking about the reaction here down in Saints country and what the Saints got or should have got or didn't get or whatever. But what's it like up in Mile High City in Denver? How's the Broncos fan base reacting to it? We'll get Brandon's thoughts on that and get his pick for the Super Bowl. It's all coming your way next right here. It's the Great Scott Show. Super Bowl week. Don't go anywhere. This is 103.3 The GOAT. Simulcast on 1420 The GOAT, the greatest sports talk of all time. That's a record. Welcome back into the Great Scott Show. 103.3 The GOAT, simulcast on 1420. Super Bowl week tradition. Various guests on during the week who either at least played in a Super Bowl. Some have won Super Bowls, like our current guest, Brandon Stokely. He has two Super Bowl rings. Brandon, do you ever, like, what do you do with those rings? Do you ever wear them? Do you just keep them in a case? What's ring etiquette for you?
Yeah, I just kind of have them tucked away. I don't put them on much at all. I think a few months ago, I put one of them on for an event I went to, but overall, they don't get out much. I don't think about them much. So it's, they're just big and kind of, you know, too flashy for me. You know, I don't like to really draw attention to myself, and that's what they do. They grab attention, obviously, and so that's not really my style. But every now and then, for an event or something, I'll get to put them on, and it does. They are nice, and it does put a smile on your face. It's like, God, I didn't win, you know, a Super Bowl. I won two Super Bowls. That's really, really cool. I never imagined that I'd win one Super Bowl or play in a Super Bowl. So, I probably should break them out a little bit more, but I just kind of got them tucked away and don't really get to them much.
I think one time you just need to wear your dad's old Clemson National Championship ring. I saw you break that out once on social media. That thing was cool, man. That thing was cool. Old school. They don't look like that anymore, you know?
No, just one diamond, like right in the middle. I love that ring. Every now and then we had a, for our radio station, we had a golf match with the people in our, that worked there. And me and my partner, we had lost a couple years in a row and we finally broke through last year. And he brought a wrestling belt. And I ended up busting out all my rings and jewelry to take pictures with that. So every now and then, but yeah, I do love that Clemson 1981 national championship ring that my dad had. That's really cool.
Good stuff. Brandon Stokely, 15 years in the NFL, two-time Super Bowl champ at BStokely14 on Twitter if you want to give him a follow there. We talk some memories from his playing days. Let's talk about the current NFL, Brandon. You're in Denver working in sports radio. I know you were excited, happy about the hiring of Sean Payton. Overall, how do you feel like, you know, it was a rough season in Denver. That's putting it mildly. It was not what was expected. I don't want to call it a hard reset, just a hard reset from a coaching standpoint. What is the overall vibe with Sean Payton heading to the Broncos, and how do you think he's going to do in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, it was a complete disaster last year with the expectations that you know, the fan base had here surrounding the Russell Wilson trade that, hey, we finally got a quarterback that's going to be able to compete with Mahomes and Justin Herbert in the AFC West. And it couldn't have gone worse. I mean, it just couldn't have. I mean, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in all of NFL. I mean, he was just terrible. So the Sean Payton news just brought relief and put smiles on people's faces that, hey, hopefully he can help Russ out. And I don't think many people believe that Russ can bounce back and be a, you know, a top five type of quarterback, but just be, you know, a top 15, around a number 10 quarterback in the league. And if you can just do that, you know, with the Broncos defense, you know, they can compete with anyone. So I think it's been great news here. You needed a, you know, my main thing for the coach was experience. Needed a guy that had been there and done that. And the previous coaches have all been first time coaches. The last, I believe, three, and it's been bad. You gotta have a guy that knows what he's doing, and it's so important to the head coaching position is so important, and sometimes it gets overlooked, and you're looking at players, but man, you got to have a coach. If you don't have a coach, you don't have a chance. And the Broncos got a coach that has been through it all, and so I love the hire. I think it's a grand slam. Now the Broncos still have work to do. Sean Payton's not going to come here and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to the Super Bowl. But it's a great start. It's this new ownership group who took over, I believe, towards the back end of the summer. It's their first big hire, and I think it's a home run hire. I had a chance to visit the Saints in 2007 after the Colts released me, and that was the first time I met Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis. And then me and my dad just went from Lafayette and just drove down there for the day. And that was really, really cool. And I've run into Sean a couple other times, but I love the hire. I really do. I can't say enough good things about it.
So are you saying you almost signed with the Saints? You were almost part of that Super Bowl team?
Well, you know, I was open to it. The Saints didn't want to sign me. That was the problem. But I tore my Achilles. You know, you're referencing the Super Bowl there in 2006 with the Colts. I tore my Achilles in December, so I really thought I was done playing football and didn't know what I wanted to do after that year. And because I was hurt the whole year, it was not a fun year for me. Wasn't playing that well, and so went back to Lafayette and going to try to figure out what the next steps were going to be, and. Got a call like, hey, the Saints, you know, want to visit with you. So I went up there and drove up there and visited with them, but there was never an offer from the Saints. And that was the year that the Broncos, they offered me just a, you know, just a 1 year basic 1 year deal. And I said, you know what, forget it. I want to try to play one more year and see if I can bounce back from these injuries I had. And I ended up signing with Denver. But certainly, man, that would have been great. I mean, it was Sean Payton. It was this great offense. And, you know, from afar, it looks so much fun. And obviously it's New Orleans, it's 2 hours from the house. So that was a very appealing also, but it just never worked out.
It would have been fun. There would have been some Stokely jerseys. You know, they went and signed, the veteran they signed that year was David Patton, rest in peace. And he was, you know, he was okay, but I think folks are thinking of the Super Bowl team where they had a lot of depth at receiver. In 2007, there was some competition there, but to your credit, Brandon, you took the deal in Denver and said, I'm going to give it a go one more year. You ended up playing seven more seasons. So it worked out well for you in the end going to Denver, I would say so. And now, you know, if you never go to Denver that time, who knows if you end up back there. And certainly that's where you guys have made a life for yourself. So it would have been cool to see in a Saints uniform, but I'd say you made the right decision. Not that you had a decision to make. They should have offered you, but they didn't. But I would say it worked out well for you.
It did. No complaints here.
Two quick questions on Russell Wilson, then I'll get your thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup, and then I'll let you run. Appreciate the time, as always. Always enjoy this every year. What do you think was the biggest reason for Russell Wilson's on-the-field step back in play? Because I didn't see that coming. I know no one in Denver saw it either. I've heard different people say, well, it was play calling or it was injuries or it was this or that. I've heard all kind of different theories. You follow this team on a regular basis. What in your mind was the number one reason he took such a big step back in his play last season?
Well, I think he tried to change his game. He tried to evolve to more of a pocket quarterback. He wanted to be, you know, the next Drew Brees, a smaller type of quarterback that can just operate in the pocket. And that's who he wanted transition to be, because he talks openly about playing until he's 43, 44, like playing until his mid-40s, and you can't do that if you're running around all over the football field taking hits. And so he wanted to evolve into that type pocket passing quarterback, and it just didn't work. And I think the offense, I think maybe he had too much input on the how the offense was going to run, and it just wasn't a good fit for him at all. So his footwork was bad, his reads, his progressions were awful. So it was just a snowball avalanche type of effect, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And he bounced back there at the end of the year and played better football the last couple games, but it was a culmination of a bunch of different things. So I'm hoping that he, takes a step back and looks, and he needs to use his legs. This guy's a mobile quarterback, and using his legs, it isn't a bad thing. And hopefully he gets back to doing that a little bit more and can clean up that footwork and how he sees things and his reads and his progressions. He's a shorter quarterback, so you're kind of hoping that he can get back to where he was 3 or 4 years ago with Sean Payton.
What would you tell Russell Wilson's publicist if they asked you, Brandon, what do you think the image of Russell Wilson is off the field?
I would say just stop it. Just stop. Stop with all the stuff. It's not always about his brand. He's a very successful guy. He's made a ton of money. Not everything needs to be scripted in life, in football. Like, just be a guy, just be a dude. And there's just too much social media stuff. There needs to be some awareness there. Like, when you're losing, maybe pull back on some of that stuff that you're doing. And it's just so brand conscious and image, and just it's all always out there. And everything just feels so scripted. He's got a social media team, and they're always blasting stuff out there. And he came to Denver, and it was, let's ride Broncos country. And then, when you're losing, at the end of the press conference, when you say Broncos country, let's ride, it's just like you just got whipped. You lost 4 games in a row. You're playing awful. No, nobody wants to ride. Just stop with that, right? It drives people nuts. So I would say, hey, just pull back a little bit, have some awareness, and know when to pull the reins in on that stuff. But there you were at the end of the season. He was putting out a hype video of the season that happened. And I mean, it's like, what are you doing? You were awful. The football team was awful. There's no hype video. You don't put out a hype video when you stink. Just stop. So we'll see. We'll see if it gets better. I'm ranting on about that a little bit.
No, I love it, man. I think you touched on it, right?
It's too much.
It's like, have better self-awareness, And I think, let Russ cook. I mean, I think the stupid metaphor of too many cooks in the kitchen, you have too many publicists, too much of a marketing team. You may not have an actual feel for what's happening, not on TikTok, but as in the sports world and in the world of the NFL and football, and you cover it for a living and you played it in a long time. There's really no self-awareness there. And I think that hurt him a little bit, which you know how it is, Brandon, right? If you're winning, it's all good. It's fine. And if it's cringeworthy, you kind of accept it because it's like, hey, you know what? He's winning. But when you're losing, man, that stuff, it goes from cringe to just critical. And like, what are you doing? There's just a lack of self-awareness there, I think. And I'm not judging the guy. He seems like a good dude. I don't know if you've interacted with him.
He does a lot of great things. He does a lot. His days off, he's at the Children's Hospital.
That's awesome.
He does. He does a lot of great things in the community. And, I was out there every day at training camp, and every day after practice, he would go over there and sign autographs for the fans for probably 30 minutes, right? And then afterwards, he's on the field playing with his kids and his wife every single day. He did it. And so he does seem like a really, really good guy. But you just need to have a little bit more self-awareness. And you're right, Scott. Look, when you're winning, winning cures all, right? No one cares. But when you're losing and you're still doing those things, it bothers people, especially fans.
We'll be brief with this one. Tom Brady, is he going to stay retired this time? Yes or no?
Yes, I think so. I think after last year, he put a lot of thought into this one, and I think he's done. He had a lot go on this year with the family side of things, and that was tough. You could tell that was tough on him. What a career he had. And, he would probably – you know, would he stay with Tampa? Would he move teams? I just think it becomes a lot, and it's hard. I mean, he's played at such a high level for so long. I do. I think he's done.
All right. Eagles, Chiefs, Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. Where are you leaning in this one? I think it's going to be a good matchup. I've been kind of riding the Eagles for a while. I felt like they were kind of slept on heading into the postseason. A lot of people picked them to be upset. I was like, you're giving too much credence into the very end of the regular season, and Jalen Hurts was a little beat up. I just feel like their defensive line, I think that plays in the postseason in a big way. And I think that's one thing these two teams have in common. They are really good on the defensive line. I think we're going to have a close, good matchup on Sunday. I'm leaning a little toward Philly, but what do you make of this matchup, and ultimately who do you think is going to hoist up the Lombardi coming up Sunday night?
Yeah, you know, midway through the season, obviously, you know, Philly hadn't lost a game at that point. I mean, I thought they were the most complete football team in the NFL offensively, with that offensive line, running game, passing game, two really good dynamic receivers, a really good tight end, and like you said, that defensive front, linebacker, second, they had a complete football team. And then towards the end of the year, Jalen Hurts got hurt, and they just didn't quite look the same. They're kind of stumbling into the playoffs. They had a week off, and sometimes that's not a good thing. And so I was one of those people that was questioning them heading into the playoffs to see if they could get things back cranked up again, or if they had lost all their momentum. And obviously, I'll take the L on that one. They have cranked it all the way back up, and they look like they did mid-season form. And so, aggressive football team. They're not scared, obviously, to go forward on fourth down and be aggressive. And the Chiefs are the same way, right? And I think you look at it, when you look at the Chiefs' injuries, that's a big, big concern. They lost a lot of guys, and you know, Patrick Mahomes' high ankle sprain. Those things are tough to overcome in a couple weeks. And we saw him last Sunday, just how hobbled he was throughout the game. And you can feel good walking straight ahead, running straight ahead, but when you twist and turn, it can pop back up really quickly. So I don't think he's going to be fully healthy, and that thing could pop back up on him in the first quarter. His mobility is such a big part of his game. I'm leaning towards the Eagles just because they're the healthier football team. And I think they're the most complete football team. But look, the Chiefs are champions. I mean, Mahomes, Kelsey, those guys have been there and done that. So I think it's going to be a good football game, but I'm going to go with the Eagles in this one.
All right, Brandon Stokely has been our guest here on the Great Scott Show. Always love these chats every year, man. I appreciate it. My final question, non-football question. I know you get back home from time to time, down to South Louisiana in Cajun country, but living in Denver with your wonderful family, what's the thing you tend to miss most about back home? The thing that you're like, you know what, I love it here, but man, this is that if I could bring one thing, if I could transfer one thing from back home and put it up here in the cold, it would be what?
Well, I mean, I was down there a couple weeks ago, and I'd love the food. It's always about when I get back home, like, where are we going to eat? You know, you got to plan out the dinners, and it's so you just can't get that type of food anywhere else, and just love the food. And so it's, chicken and sausage gumbo and the fried catfish and the crab claws and, you know, all of that, the gator bites. I mean, I just love it all. I put on, you know, probably 5 to 10 pounds every time I get down there, but it's okay. I enjoy it. And, you know, just the people are so great, right? It's a unique place, a great place. Love getting down there, but just love that food, Scott. Can't beat it.
If I had to move to Maine or something, I know I would lose weight. I know it. I mean, my sisters come in every summer with their family. We have a family get together 1 week every summer. And I live here, but I always gain like too much weight during that week because they just want to hit up all the great food because they're in town. And I'm not going to say no to that. Of course, I have to partake. But tell you what, this past summer, I got on the scale and I was like, yeah, this is the heaviest I've ever been. I probably need to drop some LBs here. So, you know, it's a blessing and a curse that you're away from all the food. Look at it that way.
Yeah, yeah, because I definitely would be probably 10 to 15 pounds heavier. It's tough. It's tough, but it's great. Love getting down there. And, Scott, appreciate you having me again this year. Always love chatting with you and reminiscing.
Yeah, man, we appreciate the time. All the best. Continued success, Brandon, and look forward to chatting with you again in the future, man. All the best.
Thanks, buddy.
That is Brandon Stokely, Louisiana Raging Cajun and Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion. It's Super Bowl week on the Great Scott Show. We'll continue right after this on 103.3 The GOAT. Simulcast on 1420. It's The GOAT, the greatest sports talk of all time. Come see me.